All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Entertain Matt Podcast. I am your host, Matthew Truelove. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 6 of my show. Oh, my goodness. Just went and saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I will give my brief review on that movie. And we got a lot of things to discuss today. I'm going to take a break from pro wrestling today, believe it or not. I got a sister out there listening to this show, and I wanted to give a episode kind of to her that she could listen to the whole thing without me rambling on about pro wrestling. Now, don't get me wrong. I will go back to pro wrestling for all you marks out there. Absolutely. Pro wrestling is my love. Nobody seems to understand it except for wrestling fans. When you're a wrestling fan, you understand the beauty of pro wrestling, at least some of them. I will go back to pro wrestling on my next episode. I believe I'm going to talk about The Shield, one of my favorite, if not my very favorite, faction of pro wrestling of all time. It is a beautiful thing. But I wanted to talk today about some different subjects. I wanted to give a brief television show podcast episode. We're going to talk about TV shows. You know, this year they got a lot of new TV shows coming out on NBC, CBS, you know, and all this thing. There are a few shows that I'm excited for. There's not very many, because I know that all these channels, let's say they put out 15 new TV shows. Out of those 15, 20 of them will be canceled. And yes, you can do the proper math. But that means 5 extra shows that have been on for a while will be cut off. 2.5 Men is going to be doing its final season here before long, and I'll get into all of that here in a minute. But I wanted to tell you guys about a few video games. And before I get into that, I wanted to thank my sister out there, beautiful Faith out there. Now that is her actual name, Faith. And beautiful Faith out there listening to the show, and Josh. Faith and Josh out there, that's a good ring. It has a good ring to it, you know, it rolls off the tongue, Faith and Josh. It's a good couple, great couple, love them to death. They deserve everything that God has blessed them. You know, he's blessed them really good, and they deserve it. There's nobody else in this family that really deserves it. But, I appreciate them listening to the show. Love it, love them. So I wanted to thank them real quick, and I hope that they enjoy this episode. If they don't, well, I mean, you know, it's one of them things. Like this old saying around here in Texas goes, ain't no thing like a chick-a-wing on a string. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. All the stereotypes you see on them crappy Western movies are pretty much true about Texans. Not really, not all of them. You got some strange people down here in Texas. You got strange people everywhere, but there's some different people around the world. You can run into them, you know, you can run into them at night, you know, late at night if you're out at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, whenever you're out. But, you can run into them during the middle of the day, you know, not all creeps sleep at, you know, stay up all night. There are creeps out during the day, ladies and gentlemen. And, it's a different kind of world out here, and everywhere. It's just a different kind of place. Humans are all different. We've all got our, you know, our weird streak in us. We all have our own kind of problems and our own kind of uniquenesses, I guess I could say. I don't know. It's just, it's unique. Humans are different kind of people. And we're all different in this, you know, we're all the same, but we're all different. Different kind of science that I can't really explain because I don't know. I don't have the vocabulary to say, really, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. It's one of them things. Ain't no thing like a chicken wing on a string. That's going to pretty much not be my motto. My pretty much motto of life is, ain't no thing like me, except me. Love that line from Guardians of the Galaxy. Without a doubt, the best movie of the summer. So, let us dive on into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle review. Just went and saw it today, fresh off the heels. I did not really expect to go see it today, but I was fine going and see it because I really didn't want to see that End of the Storm movie. Not anything against it or anybody that was in it or helped produce or make the film. It just was not my cup of tea. Anytime you compete with Michael Bay, it's difficult. He did have a rough streak with Transformers. You know, just this last Transformers movie was a big not really a failure because they made a lot of money, and I think that's what they mostly look at nowadays for the movies is, did we make a lot of money? Did we make people, you know, want to go and see it? It doesn't really matter what they said about it as long as we made a lot of money. At least that's what I think the producers say. For actors, they have to be careful. They make a bomb, they gotta either quickly go back and try to take a risk on another movie that's possibly a bomb or going to be a big hit and get their career back in shape. Or they can take a break and then eventually come back or retire if they were at that age. It's a difficult world out there for actors, you know, especially with special effects. Special effects are kind of taking over in the world right now. The movie world, it's unbelievable. Special effects are everywhere. Boom, bam, everywhere. Half the movie on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is special effects. The same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, with Guardians, you did have people dressed up. It's not as if they were just walking, talking special effects. And Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, it wasn't like the old movies where you had a bunch of guys dressed up in foam costumes. I remember them old movies. Good movies. That's not like that at all. It's special effects. It's the special effects eras in the movie business right now, and there's a lot of actors that are scared and kind of concerned that maybe the ultimate nightmare will come true, that special effects will take over actors. I'm not necessarily afraid of that. I will always choose to watch a real human being than a special effects kind of thing. You know, because you get that realism, you get that human reaction. There's nothing like a human reaction, you know. I mean, they're getting close and closer to completely copying humans on their interactions and everything with special effects, and they've already done it before where they've put a main actor in there and just had him voice the character, and it looks exactly like them, but it's, you know, it's not them, it's just a special effects person, and then like they're doing with the Paul Walker situation, CGI and all that. It's pretty incredible stuff how far special effects have come over the last even 5 years. It's amazing. Because when you look at the first Iron Man, and see those special effects, and then go see Iron Man 3, and look at the difference in the quality, and it's pretty interesting. It's unbelievable to me. I don't think that the special effects will necessarily create, you know, the job hazards for actors. I mean, it'd be a shame for these millionaires to go out and get a real job, but No, I don't see actors running out of work anytime soon. I did see a trailer for Interstellar. Very excited for that movie. Matthew McConaughey is in the prime of his career, without a doubt. The pretty boy that won the gold, an Academy Award for his amazing performance on the Dallas Buyers Club movie. Fantastic job by Matthew McConaughey, losing all that weight. My goodness. It's... wasn't as bad as when Christian Bale lost it, not for American Psycho, but the Machinist. When you want to see some creepy stuff that should have never happened. That's Christian Bale, who did a fantastic performance on the movie The Machinist. Absolutely an amazing performance. It's just disgusting how skinny he got. And just in the last movie, American Hustle, he gained a crap load of weight. I know everybody's upset of him for going on that tirade at Dark Knight, on the Terminator Salvation thing, and you can see that on YouTube and whatnot, and I try not to judge actors on their personal stance. If they're a fantastic actor, then they're worth the money, you know. Everybody likes to like an actor or an actress and not dislike them for their personality or their behavior issues, but for me, it's just about pure acting. It's not about their personal lives, because really their personal lives are none of our business. We should not know behind the curtain stuff. We should not know all these things. And I don't really want to know, because, you know, when I find out that somebody's a jerk or whatever, you're not saying that anybody, that Christian Bale's a jerk for going on that tirade. The guy probably deserved it. I don't know. I wasn't there. And I'm not going to judge him on it. Like, you know, and I'm not saying I'm better because I'm not judging. I'm just saying, I do not really care about what goes on behind the scenes. I like to know how things are done because it's interesting how much work these behind-the-scenes guys goes into. They have to really work for even one shot of a scene. Not so much anymore with special effects, but they still do. But anyway, behind the scenes stuff with the drama and, you know, whose ego is too big and who's, you know, wanting too much money and who's against who, that crap doesn't matter to me. I don't get off on that stuff. You know, I enjoy pure acting. Acting fascinates me because it's amazing. And it just blows me away when these people act so completely different from the normal character, and they can just, by a snap, just switch into a character of fiction. And it's really a tremendous thing. It's really a beautiful thing. And I don't want, you know, movies to be ruined knowing that a person's a jerk. And even when they are a jerk, it doesn't matter to me, because it's about the performance. If you can bring it, you can basically be the biggest jerk in the world. Now, does that mean you're going to get a lot of projects? No, not really. I mean, it doesn't really mean that you're going to get a whole lot of work in the world of Hollywood if you have a bad reputation. But, you know, you make a name for yourself. And once you're a big name, you know, there's a lot of people that once they make it, they're either jerks or they're pretty much nice and they try to help younger talent out. And that's their business. But, yes, so behind-the-scenes stuff really ruins Hollywood. Kind of like it does professional wrestling. You know, you got the internet, and the internet has almost ruined wrestling with no surprises, all the match cards being leaked and whatnot. I don't want to read that stuff. I have nothing against, you know, the people that do that stuff. And, you know, if you want to do that, that's all more power to you. If you enjoy that stuff, fine. But that's not my thing. I enjoy the surprise factor, the shock factor, and not knowing who's going to win. Because that's what's the beauty of pro wrestling, is the shock value. And there's just a lot of things. I mean, I love the internet, don't get me wrong. I have learned more from Google than I ever did in high school or middle school or any other place that is supposed education. But, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, going back to that review before I went on the behind-the-scenes thing, it was good. It wasn't great, but it was good. I enjoyed it. I didn't love it, probably because it's more dedicated to kids. You know, more dedicated to kind of the younger audience than people my age. But, you know, people my age, you know, we grew up on the cartoon series. I remember that old cartoon series back in the day on Saturday mornings. Oh, I would watch that thing every single Saturday. That's why I loved Saturdays back in the day, other than the fact that I didn't have to go to school, where I didn't learn anything. It was the fact that I would go wake up early in the morning and watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the cartoon. And the cartoon was just so well done. You dived into each character. You knew that Raphael had a horrible temper. You knew Leonardo was the leader. You know, Splinter was an amazing teacher that knew pretty much everything about martial arts. And Michelangelo was the comedy guy, and Donatello was I pretty much just knew him by his purple band around his head and the stick. And he was never. He was the techie guy in this movie, but I don't remember him being real techie on the cartoon. I don't remember that. It is great though to see that. It's good. It's a good movie to see. It's worth going and seeing. You know, if you got kids and everything like that, the kids will enjoy it. There were quite a few people in the small theater room. They had us in a small theater room. We go in there. And I sit down, me and my dad, and we sit down, you know, pretty close to the front. You know, I don't like to look up in the sky, you know, have to creak my neck during the whole film. But I didn't really have to do that. It was nice and comfortable. We had plenty of leg room, and it was good. I didn't go see a 3D film this time. I went to see Guardians in 3D unintentionally, because I like to go see the earliest showings possible. In the morning, because that's, you know, pretty much beat the crowd. Even though nowadays, you know, you pretty much have a big crowd no matter what time you go. Because there are people that will wait a week to go see a film, to, you know, see the reviews about it. And if it gets good reviews, they go and see it. And then you got people who wait 2 weeks to go see a movie. And then you got a smaller group of people that wait about 3 weeks and go any random time during the week. to go see a film. So, I mean, no matter what, you're going to have a crowd of people. It's a rarity to have just, you know, maybe one or two people in a movie theater room. But, so, my overall review, probably I would give it, let's say out of 5 stars, I'd give it 3.5, probably. You know, it was just an average movie, another action film. It didn't really blow me away. I did enjoy the car scene going down the mountain. Best part of the movie by far. I do feel sorry for, I believe his name is Will Arnett. I feel sorry for him because none of his lines made anybody laugh. And it's horrible because he is a funny guy. He's very successful and very talented, but he never made me laugh once. It was his lines. His kind of comedy was not acceptable in this kind of movie, at least in my opinion. I don't think he was, you know, his lines didn't connect with the people. His character didn't connect. And Megan Fox, you know, Megan Fox is not the greatest actress in the world. She is good. And, but whatever she doesn't have in the acting department, she without a doubt makes up in the beauty department. I know there's a lot of people out there that say she's not beautiful, women, and all the men say she is the most gorgeous person on the planet. She is definitely one of the most gorgeous in this film. They really, my goodness, she is a beautiful woman, and very, she is talented. I don't know. I just, it's very interesting to see that she and Michael Bay are back together. I'm sure that, you know, that it's good to have amends in the Hollywood business. It's not good to hold grudges and such. So, she did the part, you know, she did the part. They kind of really focused on her, and they did finally develop her character for a little while, but not a whole lot. But, you know, they did what they did. It's more dedicated towards kids, even though it is PG-13. I felt they should have just went all the way and did it PG, but they wanted PG-13 to get maybe some preteens or something like that in there. And, you know, it was fine, because I sure as crap wasn't going to go see that Into the Storm movie. You know, I'm going to wait for that one to come out on Redbox or DVD or whatever and see that one. I will definitely see it and give a review on it, but I'm not going to go out of my way to go to the movie theater and see it. So, yeah, 3.5 out of 5. It was what it was. William Fitcher did a fantastic job, as always. He is one of the best bad guys out there. He always plays the bad guy 9 times out of 10. And he's really an underrated actor, in my opinion. Really underrated. The bad guys, you know, are always underrated. To me, they're just super underrated. You can't have a good guy, and yes, a good guy with a, you know, without a bad villain. You know, you gotta have a ruthless, terrible villain to make the, not the baby face, I'm thinking of pro wrestling, but the good guy, you know, you gotta have, for every protagonist, you gotta have an antagonist. The better the antagonist, the better the protagonist, you know, and all that sort of stuff. Basics of movies. So, let's dive on in to the video games. I did just get 2 or 3 games. Let me see. I getting the PS4 is a hard thing to do, because when you have money and you want to spend it, you have to make a decision when you have a lot. Do you get that one big present, you know, that one big thing, and then not have any money for anything else? Or do you slowly dwindle it out on a lot of small things? And I usually always go for a larger number of small things, because that's just what I like. I enjoy, you know, going out and buying small things, you know, like $5 movies and such. But anyway, I won't bore you to death with my life story. Pretty much, I've dwindled it out, and I've pretty much decided to keep the PS3 that still works like a dream. And the games, the PS3 games, have gone down to a third of their price. So I was able to get the Batman, the Arkham Origins, I do believe. I was able to get that game, and it's a good game. I could probably sit there and play fighting scenes all day on that game. The counters and the moves and the takedowns and the ground takedowns and all that. It's good. I don't even really care about the story. I just want to fight some people, honestly. I just enjoy beating the crap out of them crazy old thugs when there's like 20 of them. And it's hilarious. I've never on a game wanted more bad guys to show up so that I can get the combo meter up. I mean, it's great when Batman is flying around and doing all those crazy moves. It's a really good game. I've just started it, but it is good. I think they're going back to the beginning almost of Batman because not to spoil the game, but it has been a year or two since it's come out, so spoiler alert if you care about that. But anyway, he's in an investigation. You're investigating a crime scene, thinking that possibly Penguin committed murder, and then you go there and it turns out to be somebody called the Joker. Well, we all knew who the Joker is. Then Batman says this crazy line that he asks, "Who is the Joker?" And it's like, what? But did he seriously just say that? I mean, you gotta pause the game for a minute and be like, did Batman really just say that? I never would have thought. In all my years of reading comics and watching the Marvel movies and playing the games and whatnot, I never have heard Batman say, "Who in the world's the Joker?" And it's like, wow. Man, it's just a shock. It's just unnatural. It's not right, ladies and gentlemen. But, I think they're going back to the beginning and all that whatnot. Good game. It's worth a buy, especially for only $20. I got Saints Row 4. It's a hilarious game, and whoever makes those games, they are gigantic marks for the wrestling world because every single taunt on there just about is a wrestling taunt. And then they name them after the freaking wrestlers, and then when you run up to people, you can do hurricanranas and pile drivers and power bombs and whatnot, and it's just very obvious. And one of the main bad guys is a pro wrestler, so somebody out there in the Saints Row gaming world is a huge wrestling mark, and I have a feeling it's more than just one. But it's a hilarious game. They're the funniest games out there. I've never played such a funny game than Saints Row 3 and Saints Row 4. They're hilarious to me. Everybody compares them to Grand Theft Auto. And yeah, everybody wants to say Grand Theft Auto's better. I don't really judge games on what's better. I just like to play. I don't like to get in huge debates about video games. And yes, so Saints Row 4 is great and funny, and you have superpowers, which makes it just so entertaining, especially when you're just speeding and sprinting along to the world and just freezing everybody and burning everything, destroying anything. It's great. And then I got Assassin's Creed 4. Black Flag, where you get to play pirates. Fantastic game. Absolutely amazing. You get to, it's different from the other ones, because you're not trying to really make it into the Assassin's group. You kind of sneak your way into the Assassin's group, and you make it trick your way into it, and then you become a pirate, and you have your own ship. And it's great to have something to upgrade and take care of. I like that sort of stuff. So it's a great game. They have definitely upgraded the sword fighting in this one. I felt like the sword fighting is much smoother, much easier to handle, and much less difficult to control and whatnot. It's really cool. And so that's a great game. You can also hunt on it to upgrade yourself. Or you can just buy the crap at the stores, you know. So those three great games, awesome games. And I, like I said before, I did finish Skyrim, which was a fantastic game, especially for 2011. A great game. So now we're going to dive into the main subject here, ladies and gentlemen, TV shows. And I'm mixed about this subject with television shows because it's hard to talk about because I get kind of sad about it because I see all these aspiring young actors and actresses and they're so excited. They're nervous. They are nervous. You know, everybody gets nervous because they know that if they make a bad episode, if the pilot's not good, if the editors don't do a good job, if the director doesn't know what he's doing, or if the actor or actress isn't good, or if the story and the characters or anything doesn't connect with any people, then it just falls off the map, gets canceled. You know, like Look at J.J. Abrams. His show Fringe went off the air, and his show Alcatraz. I thought Alcatraz was going to be a gigantic hit, and it turned out not to be. And Hurley from Lost was on the show. George Garcia, I do believe, is his name. I can't remember it right now, but I believe it's George Garcia. And I've really, that's too bad. And I thought it was going to be a great show. Watched the pilot and really didn't watch hardly any other episodes other than that, unfortunately. So maybe if I would have watched it, maybe it would have stayed on the air. So my apologies out there to Hurley out there. Yeah, I think his name was Hurley on Lost. Well, great television show. So it's difficult to make a great show. It's not only difficult on the actors and the actresses. Everybody likes TV shows because you have something to watch every week. It's not like a movie where once it's over, it's over. Unless they make about 10 dozen sequels like they're doing. But with an actor and actress, they have steady work. Unless their character gets killed off. But if you're the main star of the show, then you don't get killed off. You stay week after week after week after week, and you have steady work. That's why people try so hard to get on the Law and Order and the CSI stuff, because look at them, they're on there for like 20 years and they're still having hard work. They have very long and hard days, but they like it because of the steady work rate. They don't have to try to go look for a movie to try to play a side part in or anything like that, unless they've made a name for themselves. So it's one of those things where they really do enjoy the work, having steady work. It's an ease of mind. It is long, hard work. You're working about maybe 6-7 days out of the week, 12, 14, 16, 18, even 20-hour days. And that's hard. That's very difficult work, even acting. Doing anything for 20 hours straight is a very difficult thing, especially getting only about 4 hours of sleep and then going right back to it again, however long, however much they decide to do it. So, but yeah, it's difficult for people to do that, steadily for a lot of years, but for at least those certain amount of years, they have steady work. Some people can handle it better than others. Some actors and actresses are made for movies, and some are made for television shows. It's just, it depends on the actor and the actress, their work rate, their work level, how much they want to work, and how desperate they are to make it. And the thing with TV shows now is everybody doesn't really want to watch it on TV. There's still people that like to watch stuff week by week, but so many people have been spoiled on Netflix and Hulu and all these other internet sites, getting to watch whatever they want, the whole season within a week, instead of having to wait every single week for just one episode. And then when you got holidays, you got to wait 2 or 3 weeks. And then when you got the summer breaks, you got to wait 2 or 3 months for it to come back. It's not like Netflix and Hulu where when you have full seasons of something, you can watch it, the whole season within, 2 to 3 days or up to a week or two, depending on the seasons and the show. So, I don't think Netflix and Hulu are really to blame. Networks have always, given about 20 shows and cut 25 or however you want to add it up. And it's sad because it's really difficult. It's more than likely the show will be canceled than it will to stay on. And that's sad to me. The Blacklist is still on. I hope, James Spader and everybody on that show, continues on. Let's just talk about great shows. Great shows are few and far between. They, when you go back, to the Breaking Bads, to the Houses, to Everybody Loves Raymond, or to The Shield, or Seinfeld, MASH, Happy Days, Simpsons, Family Guy, House of Cards. It's one of those things where those don't come along every single year. They only come on every once in a while. And, there are other great shows like Scrubs and the Law and Orders and the CSIs, if you're into that kind of thing. In my opinion, they make too many of them, and they're kind of just the same thing, but, that's my opinion. So, Cinemax and HBO shows. You know, you can make a TV show on Cinemax and HBO. That's the same thing, where you wait a week or even sometimes even once a month to get a new episode. And that's all fine and dandy. Some people like to go out and buy stuff on DVD, possibly. You know, they kind of just wait it out and just watch whatever until it comes out on DVD and then buy it on DVD. Or they wait for it to come on Netflix or Hulu. So people have kind of spoiled on the fact that they get to watch whatever they want, whenever they want. They do like to have a routine, though, of watching something every single week. Like, I watch Monday Night Raw every single week. 7 to 10 Monday nights, I get to watch Monday Night Raw, and I enjoy that. You know, it's almost a little bit stressful trying to find something to watch when there's nothing on TV except for commercials. So, you know, everybody's gotten to the point where they don't want to watch commercials. They don't want to watch it at a certain time. They want to watch it when they want to, at any time of the day, as much as they want. They'll be able to pause it, and Netflix is commercial-free, and Hulu has limited commercials. So, what do you do? You know, of course, cable's going up. You know, only really the people that can really afford the high expensive cable to get the HBOs and the Cinemaxes and the Showtimes to get all them shows. When really in the long run, you can just save money by getting it on DVD in 6 months or whatever when it comes out on DVD. So, I mean, it's up to you. You know, me, I don't really want to pay $300 to $500 to $1,000 every single month on expensive cable when for $8 a month I can just watch Netflix. And that's how people are thinking now. So, and Netflix is, of course, making their own great shows like House of Cards. Fantastic show, House of Cards. Kevin Spacey is a tremendous actor. And Robin Wright, of course, is absolutely gorgeous and wonderful. Very talented. Great actor and actresses on that show. And a lot of twists and turns on that show. It really turns you. It really gets you going after a while. You have to understand the story, and once you figure out the story, it's like, wow, it's beautiful. It is a little bit rough. The internet shows like Netflix and Hulu, you know, they're making their own shows and whatnot. Hulu's not doing that great of a job compared to Netflix. Of course, Hulu's not making the kind of money that Netflix is making with 50 million subscribers, paying $8 a month, pretty soon paying $10 a month every single month. That's pretty insane. But, you know, Netflix is worth it, paying two extra dollars a month. You know, $10 a month is what you pay for the network, the WWE network, which is worth it to me. But, let's see. The Netflix, you know, making their own shows, it's not really, you know, bad. You know, of course, when they're making a bunch of money, they got to put it towards something to help promote their product. You know, and that's just smart business. But with the internet is completely open. There are no boundaries. There is no FCC for the internet. Cable, they cut everything out. On the internet, not so much. The internet, you're free and open. You have no boundaries on the internet. Because there's a lot of stuff on the internet, a lot of bad stuff on the internet. And it's sad, in a way, that there is so much freedom. I mean, it's almost like these people have too much freedom. And House of Cards almost has too much freedom. I know they're trying to be edgy and whatnot, and more power to them, I guess. But it's not really, for me, a show shouldn't have to show nudity or anything like that in order to get ratings. A show like Breaking Bad, you know, should use pure acting. Yeah, I know that Bryan Cranston did, you know, expose his hind end a couple of times, but that was more of a comedy thing. In House of Cards, it was kind of serious in a way. But, you know, it's their future, it's their thing, and it's a great show that I still plan to watch. And that's the thing about it, is people are going to watch it anyway because it's so good. It's, you know, but I believe internet shows are the future. I believe that cable will eventually die out. I don't see cable sticking around for too many more years because people have better options. like buying it, the shows on DVD, going to Netflix and Hulu, and even Amazon, and, you know, doing all of that instead of paying $500 a month for a bunch of cable that they have to either spend the time to record, or they have to, pretty much record or watch it at the certain time. So, not unlike Netflix and Hulu, where you get to watch it any time as long as you have good internet. So, no boundaries, no FCC, possibly too much freedom. They gotta, you know, somebody's gotta step in a little bit. Kind of control them a little bit. Don't go overboard. You know, make it more realistic, but don't make it so realistic that it's just too much. It's like, I think that cable will eventually go to the internet. You know, I think, you know, even HBO and Cinemax, HBO does have HBO to go, but I don't think that that's the future, because you have to have the cable provider. You know, you have to prove that you have the cable in order to even get the app. So it's, you know, whatever. But I like it. You know, these television shows like CBS and Fox or anything are having their own apps, and you can watch it, the shows anytime, even though none of the apps work. I mean, all the apps that I see have 1.5-star ratings, and people say that it doesn't work. You know, I can't get it to work. I can't watch anything. So if they can ever fix that, I think that'd be a great idea. Even though Netflix is, of course, the dominant force. But if there's other internet companies that want to, you know, something like Netflix or Hulu that wants to step in, they got to hurry up and step in, because Netflix is starting to gain a monopoly on the business of internet shows, and it's not good to have a monopoly. You know, people do have Hulu Plus and Amazon and whatnot, but everybody prefers Netflix. And it's because they're commercial-free, and they can afford to be commercial-free. They're probably going to be commercial-free, I hope, forever. I hope they never have commercials, especially with them raising their prices. So, the same thing with WWE programming. I think Monday Night Raw, and especially Friday Night SmackDown, I think Friday Night SmackDown should already be on the network. I don't think WWE should honestly be putting that amount of money towards SmackDown, since they're not really promoting it anyway. And, you know, that's their business, but I hope that, I'm sure one day that we will see everything, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, on the WWE Network. Which, apparently, last Monday Night Raw, the main segment was $9.99 a month, and that was, you're just killing it, Triple. That's not the best idea in the world to annoy your fans to buy the network. It's not like that the more people that buy it, the more he's going to preach about it and talk about it. That's not a good thing. So, I mean, you're probably going to get more people to drop it than anything. I mean, you're a heel. You're not supposed to do what the heel wants. So, yeah, I did have some problems with that. But we're going to dive right on in here to possible shows that are coming up. I did mention some good past shows, like Everybody Loves Raymond and Seinfeld. And, you know, comedies have a much harder time of making it because, like I've said before, so many people have so many diverse comedies. You know, everybody likes a different kind of comedy, and then there's so many sub-comedies, and, you know, you like dry, do you like cold, do you like dark humor? You know, all different kinds of things. And not everybody's going to love Robin Williams, but not everybody's going to love Raymond, you know, Ray Romano. So it's just one of those things where it's really hard to make it in the comedy world with a TV show, because, you know, it's hard to make people laugh. And it's you know, it's not so hard to get people in a dramatic show when you got a good story and good characters, but for a comedy, you really got to go all out. That's why there's far less great comedy shows than there are dramatic shows. And it's sad, but that's just the way it is. That's why the few that make it are so renowned and beloved, because they made it in such a tough business, and especially when you last so many seasons. Like, Rules of Engagement is a great TV show. Yeah, it's pretty much all about sex, but it's not terrible. It is an enjoyable show. It's a likable show. It's unfortunate that that one got canceled, and then you got Everybody Loves Raymond, and of course, Seinfeld and MASH and Happy Days and all of that, and you know, got the cartoon ones like Simpsons and Family Guys and whatnot. But with dramatic shows, they have a somewhat of an easier time. It's not easy. It's never easy. But they do have an easier time. But let's talk about the upcoming shows that are upcoming and that I hope really make it. There are a couple on my mind that I have kind of grabbed my attention. It's hard to grab people's attention nowadays as well, trying to get them interested to take the time out of their day to remember when it comes on, what station it's on, and, you know, just to try to remember it instead of tuning in to Netflix where it's commercial-free, tuning in to Hulu where the commercials are limited, to watching what they want if they're in the middle of a show or something, to take time out of their day after working all day or all night to watch that show. So that's difficult now. That's one of the many difficulties of getting a new show on there and getting a following. So for the first show, if anybody hasn't seen the preview yet, go look it up on YouTube. There is a Batman show coming out, a very interesting Batman show. I believe it's going to be on Fox. And it's really, it's a different kind of turn. You know, you got the Batman versus Superman movie coming out next year, I believe. I think if it's next year, it's going to be crazy because it'll be the Avengers versus Batman and Superman. So, I mean, of course, I'm going to go with Avengers, absolutely. You know, I'm not one of them people entirely against Ben Affleck being Batman. I'm just kind of confused by it more than anything. But, I mean, you know, if he wants to, if he has to prove something to himself, that's fine. But so there is a new Batman show coming out. It's the early life of Bruce Wayne. It's more about Commissioner Gordy, or I can't remember his name. I cannot remember his name. The cop, the detective that helps Batman out. I think it's Commissioner Gordy. That's what I think. I can't remember. But absolutely, it's the, you know, it's after Bruce Wayne, as a child, just had his parents murdered in front of him by a bandit thief, you know, cold-blooded murder, and it's a real interesting turn because it's going to be about the detective and then, of course, Bruce Wayne growing up, you know, with this horrible trauma and this horrible event happening to him, so. And they're going to show all the villains, they're going to show Penguin, they're going to show pretty much everybody except for the Joker. And then, of course, that's respectable because nobody's ever going to touch Heath Ledger's performance on the Joker. I don't think they need to do anything with that for a lot of years. So that looks good. I believe it's like Arkham City or something like that. Something to do with Arkham. Check it out. They don't have a premiere date yet, but they should soon. Martin Lawrence has a new show. We haven't seen Martin Lawrence in a lot of years. A lot of years. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen Martin Lawrence do work. And you know, that's fine, you know. But it's good to see him back and working. And the guy from Frasier, can't think of his name. You know, I didn't really enjoy Frasier that much, but that is a show that lasted a lot of years. A lot of people think it's funny. I don't really catch the comedy of it. Of course, like I said, we all have different kinds of comedies. George Lopez does have a new show. I don't know if it's gone over or not. I haven't watched any of it myself. I need to take a look at the show, check it out for myself. I'm a fan of George Lopez. He's a great guy, very nice guy, very nice human being. And, you know, there's others. There's, you know, they try different shows. They got that Taxi Brooklyn show, you know, that might make it, might not. It's, you know, whatever. And, you know, just a bunch of different shows. I mean, they're all cops and all detectives. You know, they need to go off in a different direction other than detectives and all that whatnot. But some shows I have started. The Shield with Michael Chiklis. He's got a unique last name, ladies and gentlemen. I have just started The Shield. It's a fantastic show. Very unique and very different. It is with a cop, let alone, but It's with a cop that is so freaking corrupt. Oh my goodness, I've never seen a corrupt cop like him before. But the character development is beautiful. It's very, very awesome. So I'm getting into that. And of course, you know, House of Cards is on the internet, and I just finished up the second season of House of Cards. If you do watch it, prepare to be blown away, because it's very sexually active. It's not full-blown porn, for crying out loud, people, but it is pretty intense. As far as they give more power to the imagination sometimes than they do not giving it. But I'm not bashing the show at all. Definitely check it out. It's a definite watch if you are. I mean, don't let any kids watch it. But if you are an adult and love those shows, without a doubt, and especially if you love politics, even if you don't like politics, if you hate politicians and such, you will enjoy this show. If you love government class and, you know, crap like that, then go for it and watch the show. You'll enjoy it and you'll love it. And, you know, of course, Kevin Spacey is amazing. So, you know, so those are some shows among there. You know, we're coming into the new year. It's coming around August. Everybody's starting to go back to school. You know, you got the teachers going back to work, and then you got, you know, the football starting to come around, which is big in Texas. To be honest, I'm not that big of a football fan. I really don't care for football. I know that's like kind of like the almost anti-American thing to say, but you can get mad or whatever, but football's just not my thing. Honestly, the only reason I watched the Super Bowl, I didn't even watch the Super Bowl last year. I just switched it from there and back. I hardly even watched the Super Bowl last year, really, because, I mean, it was kind of ridiculous because the one team was getting squashed. I don't even remember who played. But yeah, it was a squash. You know, it was just a squash match. It was a jobber match, to be honest with you, if I can do pro wrestling terms. But yeah, not much of a fan of football. But you know, it's awesome what they do. They're great athletes, but don't really care about football, the sport. Especially don't care about basketball, baseball, pretty much any other sport. Except for pro wrestling. Pro wrestling is about the only sport that I'm into. And UFC, you know, of course. You know, if you're into pro wrestling, you're more than likely going to be into MMA and UFC. You know, it's just almost I know that they're not exactly complete opposites, but it's pretty insane. So, you know, so whatever. It's what I enjoy. If you enjoy all the sports, great for you. You can pay for all them sports packages that HBO and or that DirecTV and all them people charge. Time Warner Cable's crazy about it, too. Or you can pay $9.99 for the network, like Triple H is saying. My goodness, that was annoying. I got to the point where I really almost muted the segment, but I wanted to hear what the point was. And it turned out there was no point, except to get the crowd to start chanting $9.99 with them, or to say it along with them. You know, this past Monday Night Raw was not a great Monday Night Raw. When they first get into the great old state of Texas, the crowd's really hot and excited. Then when they kind of stay around for a couple of weeks, you know, this was the second Monday Night Raw live that they were in Texas. And, you know, the crowd just wasn't, you know, they're not a very good crowd. You know, the Monday Night Raw itself was not that great. I try not to bash pro wrestling, but not a great night. But I've seen much worse than that Monday Night Raw for sure. But I think that they will finish out strong next Monday night. I know I wasn't supposed to talk about wrestling on this one, but I will just briefly discuss it. I am disappointed that Dean Ambrose chose a lumberjack match for his match at SummerSlam against Seth Rollins. I have a horrible feeling that that was a political thing, because lumberjack matches don't necessarily get over much anymore with the crowd, you know. But at least in my opinion, I think it was a political thing, because they don't want anybody to steal the show away from Brock Lesnar and John Cena for the title. I'm probably completely wrong. I hope I am. Dean and Seth could totally tear the house down. I was hoping for a 2 out of 3 falls match, a 3 stages of hell match or a Hell in a Cell match or a Steel Cage or a Falls Count Anywhere or Falls Count Anywhere would have made sense, or a Parking Lot Brawl or, you know, something like that. I mean, they could have even gone, I mean, as long as it wasn't like a tuxedo match or anything like that. I mean, Howard Finkel would go absolutely bananas on that, but, you know, whatever. We're going into SummerSlam. We got one last Monday Night Raw before SummerSlam. Should close out. They should make this Monday Night Raw very, very strong because the network is about to go international, and they got to make over 1 million subscribers. I think going into Canada and, you know, UK will be in October and you know, everything like that all over the world. I think as soon as they go worldwide, they'll make a lot more money with that network. I think it's like once they make over 1.2 million subscribers, they'll finally break even money-wise. So that'll really help them out. Maybe if they start making really good money, if they get 2 or 3 million subscribers, hopefully eventually they will be able to hire some more talent. I mean, they've cut so much talent. And yes, I did want to break the terrible news, as everybody has heard, a hot subject. Alberto Del Rio was fired for conduct, you know, bad conduct or whatever, supposedly slapping an employee and whatnot. Now, I know there are heavy rumors about there. This guy made a racist remark and, you know, everything like that. Take that with a grain of salt, like you always should when you hear anything about pro wrestling online. Really, when you hear anything online, take it with a grain of salt. Don't necessarily believe everything you read online. My opinion, you know, Del Rio's career was, I don't think he was ever going to really get pushed again. He was in a rough spot. His contract was about to expire, I think within another year or two at most. And you could tell, he was still putting on great matches. He was a great performer, hard worker, bruised legs all the time from slapping him all the time. My goodness, every single night, 3 or 4 times a night. But, you know, him getting fired, it sucks. I hate to see people get fired. It is interesting, though, that WWE sent out a tweet, you know, bashing him. I felt like that wasn't really needed. I mean, if they didn't do that for CM Punk, I mean, why didn't they do that for CM Punk? And yet they're doing it for Del Rio? Doesn't really make sense to me. Even though it's weird, if you watch Main Event, you'll see, you know, he was acting like a face, you know, being down here in ways, you know, in South Texas with a huge Hispanic population, but That's really interesting that he was acting like a face. He was acting as if he was leaving, and he tapped out, of course, to Jack Swagger. And so, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's maybe he knew. Maybe the story with him slapping an employee is all bullcrap, or maybe not. Maybe it's true. I don't know. Maybe he just wanted to go out with one last hurrah. I don't know. Maybe one day we'll know. And knowing the backstage, now that Triple H is pretty much starting to run things, we probably won't learn a whole lot more about the backstage areas, but I'm sure that the internet will find somehow, some way to do it. So, ladies and gentlemen, that'll be the episode for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm here on Entertain Matt. I do my best to entertain all of you people, and especially myself. It's a great, great thing to be able to do this from the headquarters here, up here in the Bat Cave, or whatever you want to call it. I call it the Mat Cave, or whatever it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, I will see you on this side or the other. And there ain't no thing like me, except me. So I'll catch you on this side or the other, ladies and gentlemen. Be safe, be happy, and be proud, because life is short, and you gotta enjoy this as much as you can. And so, just enjoy life. Thank you, sister and brother. Faith and Josh, for listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed this one. I made this one for you. Restraining myself as much as possible not to talk about pro wrestling. It's difficult not to talk about pro wrestling, since being at such a huge mark, but I did my best. So, I love you guys to death. Hope to see you soon. And I will see all you other true lovers out there on this side or the other. But really, who even cares anymore?